The grace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the friendship register, booklet you should find in the middle aisle, and pass it down. Make sure everyone gets the chance to sign it. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you are here. Invite you to give us your name and address. We want to make sure you are welcomed here. Take note of all the announcements in your bulletin. The insert is about our next gym night. That stands for Greet, Eat, and Meet. It's a wonderful meal provided, and it's only $5 per person. We invite you to sign up today. Today's the last day to sign up because it'll be this Wednesday, but we'd love to see you there. Already have a number signed up, but plenty of room for more. Notice that today is Super Bowl Sunday, S-U-P-E-R, but it's also for us the Super Bowl of Caring. The youth will be receiving that offering at the end of the worship service, and I'll be talking a little bit more about that later. Notice that next Sunday will be the Senior Singles Valentine Luncheon, and so this is the last Sunday for you to sign up for that, and that sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway. We'd love for you to be a part of that. That's a meal provided for you, no cost, provided from our youth to you as a gift to you. Notice that 2 weeks from today, the Graham High School Chorus will be with us for worship, so you'll want to make extra effort to be here. They are going to be doing some great music for you, so I know you want to be here for that. Our youth this afternoon will be serving a shelter meal at Allied Churches, the middle school youth meeting at 3:45 to prepare the meal, and then the high school youth meeting at 5:20 to serve the meal. So thank you for doing that. Also want to say a word of praise to Lloyd Osborne and Bob Bird, providing some special music for us this morning, along with Barbara. And Lloyd's presence here reminds us to continue to pray for Rebecca as she continues to recover from her hip replacement surgery. So look with me in our prayer concern list. Also want you to continue to be praying for Lois Priest. I told you last Sunday that she was going to Jerusalem to volunteer with an organization that provides care for children with disabilities. She'll be there about 2 months. I did hear from her. She's safely there. Let's see. She flew to Philadelphia. She was delayed there. Then she flew from there to Paris. And in Paris, the Israeli security inspected everything that she had. She was suspicious, I guess, you know. And then she flew from there to Tel Aviv. And when she got to Tel Aviv, they lost her luggage. So, but she did get there safely. She sent me a picture of the apartment house where she's staying along with the other volunteers. I have not heard from her in the past day or so, the past 24 hours or so, to know if she got her luggage yet, but I hope so. But we'll continue to be in touch. She starts today. Their work week is Sunday through Thursday, so today is her first day volunteering there, so be in prayer for Lois as she gets started with that. Also ask your prayers for Sandra Covert's sister, Nancy Hatch, who lives in New York. She's going to be having aortic valve replacement surgery this Thursday. So this Thursday in particular, be especially in prayer for Sandra's sister, Nancy. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Okay.
A couple of weeks ago that we had two kids from Graham High School make this trip. Yesterday and Friday, they completed their credit. They went up to Page High School in Greensboro and spent the majority of the day there Friday. Spent most of the day there yesterday. They presented their concert last night. For those of you who have been in Graham for a long time, you may remember one of their clinician names. Patricia Quigley used to be at Graham High School for quite some time. She was actually their clinician last night. Thank you. They'll also be presenting at All County Clinic in a couple of weeks on the 11th, Tuesday, over at Cummings High School at 7, to get a chance to those kids, and more from Graham High School. I also have to report that we had 11 kids make All County. That's one of our largest numbers.
Wow.
That's about 70% of our kids make it.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. Ron? Over $14,000 raised at Cheers for Chocolate. And thank you for your participation in that too, Ron. Thank you. All right, let us prepare our hearts then to worship God by hearing the song, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Thank you so much. A great way to start our worship. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let me invite you now to stand together as you're able, and we'll join in the call to worship. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep the Lord's statutes and seek God with all their heart. I will praise you, O God, with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will seek you with my whole heart. Do not let me stray from your commands.
Oh,
Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we bow before you this day, we are aware that indeed you are a God that is awesome in power, awesome in majesty, and awesome in your love and your mercy. So, Lord, we thank you for the kind of God you are, the kind of God that we seek to worship with all that is within us this day and give you our best praise through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us now, in all honesty, confess our sinfulness before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to us so that he would know firsthand what it's like to be human and to be tempted. We confess that we have failed you by giving in to our temptations to sin. And we have been ashamed of you and not spoken up for our Christian faith when we know we should have. Be merciful to us and teach us by your Spirit how to be courageous and loyal to you. We pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Just recently, I was looking at a website for another Presbyterian church. I really don't remember what led me there, but this particular church listed the songs that they were going to sing on Sunday in advance so that people could see them. And there was a contemporary song that I had not heard before, but the title of it is His Mercy Is More. I'm not going to sing it, but here are the words to this song. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn, Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. That is the gospel. Our sins, oh my goodness, they are many. But his mercy is even more. Thank the Lord that it's his mercy that overrules our sins, and it's through Jesus that we are forgiven. Amen. Children, preschool and elementary, to come forward for the children's sermon. As they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by you, maybe that you haven't had a chance to speak to yet. I know, I was going to tell him that. Well, good morning. I have a very special friend with me today who is turning 10 years old, and that's Carter. Happy birthday, Carter. Hope you have a great day. Well, today is a Super Sunday, isn't it? Anybody know what that is? Football helmet. Which team? Look on the helmet. San Francisco. See the S and the F? Yeah, San Francisco. They're going to be in the Super Bowl, and then there's another team that's going to be in the Super Bowl. You know who that is? She said Carolina. Wishful thinking, you know. See the K and the C? Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City. Okay, all right. So let's see here. Y'all want y'all to see it. San Francisco? Kansas City. Okay. How many in San Francisco? How many of you pulling for them? Okay. How many of you pulling for Kansas City? You know, I thought the majority was going to be I don't care, you know, but sounds like we've got more Chiefs fans than 49ers fans. Okay. Well, today is a big football game. A lot of people will be watching. And a lot of people, when they watch the Super Bowl, you know what they do? You know what else they do? They eat. Yeah. Some people don't even care that much about the game. They just like the snacks. Well, today is a very special Sunday for us. It's called the Super Bowl. See, super with a U in it, like the soup. Super Bowl of Caring. I want to tell you a little bit about how this started. There was a Presbyterian church in South Carolina way back in 1990. That was before any of you were born. And there was a youth group. I want the youth to listen to this now. There was a youth group at just one church, one Presbyterian church. I emphasize that. One Presbyterian church. And they got the idea back in 1990 that, you know, on this Super Bowl Sunday, we get together and we, you know, buy a lot of snacks and eat a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with that, but on the day when we're thinking about us eating a lot, why don't we also remember other people who don't get to eat a lot and help them out? So they started the idea of taking up money to help people who didn't have a lot to eat. And that's how this all got started. Now, the great thing to me is it was just one church, one youth group, and not a huge church at that. But that idea caught on and it spread. And, of course, all this money doesn't go to one place. It's not like it goes to, you know, a church in South Carolina. Our money that we're going to take up today is going to go to our backpack food program to help. There are lots of children and youth who don't have enough to eat, and we're going to help them have more to eat. But I think it's neat that one youth group and one church. Now, I'm not saying that that will always happen, but our youth, you know, don't sell yourself short. Who knows? The ideas you come up with, who knows how they might spread. It certainly spread this. So today, at the end of the service, you won't be in here, but at the end of the service, our youth are going to be taking up money for the Super Bowl of Caring to remind us that instead of just always thinking about ourselves, we need to think about others too. That's what Jesus taught us. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Why don't you repeat after me and we'll pray together. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he taught us to love each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for being a good listener. Now you can head out to Children's Church. Carter, happy birthday. For those of you visiting with us, we're in the midst of a sermon series answering the question, why are we here? We looked at, first of all, looking up. We're going to look in five different directions to answer that question. First, looking up, we worship God. We have to start with God, not ourselves. So we start with looking up. We worship God. Then next week, looking down, we dig into God's Word. We find out what God's Word has to say because that is our guide. That without that, we don't have a guide. And then third direction, last week, looking out, not just in ourselves, but looking out, we care for each other. We talked about how we are the body of Christ, and we need to care for one another. Today, looking in, we grow in our faith in Christ. So we're looking in at ourselves and examining our own faith in Christ and how we can cause that to grow even more. So look with me at Romans chapter 12. Beginning with verse 1, page 1047 in your pew Bibles. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I don't know if you've ever studied through Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, but it is the most doctrinally full and theologically packed book in the Bible in many ways. Chapters 1 through 11 of this letter deal with such doctrines as total depravity, justification, sanctification, election. After dealing with all of those, then in chapter 12, Paul writes the very first word, therefore. In other words, based on all these things that I've already taught you, therefore, this is what you need to do. And I'm going to take these two verses, two simple verses, and break them down into four parts today, as we think about four aspects of growing in Christ, our growth of our faith in Christ. The first is the basis of Christian growth. What is the very basis of Christian growth? And he says, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. People today tend to shy away from any sense of commitment or growth in Christ sometimes because maybe they've been burned by commitments in the past. Someone else has manipulated them, or in some way it had a bad experience. But you cannot be a Christian without commitment. You cannot be a Christian without committing yourself to Christ. That's the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Now, Paul starts here by saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who believe together in Christ, in view of God's mercy. Now, why does he say God's mercy? Well, there are different words that are used to describe God's character. We talk about God's justice. Justice means that we get exactly what we deserve. Is that what you want? No, it's not what I want. I want something better than that. Well, grace is when you get something good you don't deserve. Now, I like that, getting good things that I don't deserve. But that's not what he says here. He says, in view of God's mercy. Mercy is not getting something bad that you do deserve. For example, let's say that God had a book that he kept for you. Your name is on this book. And every day in this book, God writes down what you say, what you think, what's in your heart that everybody else doesn't see, and writes it all down and then marks down all the sins that you commit every day. That's not a book I'd like to read, you know. Not a very pleasant thought. Well, then let's say God wrote down all your sins on this side. Let's say there were 100 sins yesterday. Then on this side, he writes down 100 punishments. All right, you did this wrong, you're going to get this. Number two, you did this wrong, you're going to get this punishment. And for every sin, there's a specific punishment. Now, that would be justice. That would be you getting exactly what you deserve. Thank the Lord, that's not the image of God that we get in the Bible. He starts out by saying, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, you do not get what you deserve. You do not get a specific punishment for every specific sin. Now, why is that? Could God do that? Yes. Would God be right to do that? Yes. God would be just to do that. But God's mercy steps in and says, no, you're not going to get everything that you deserve in the same way that you sinned because of Jesus Christ and what he has paid for your sin. So in view of God's mercy, that's the basis of Christian growth. Secondly, what's the character of Christian growth? He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Now, there are two things about what he says about our Christian growth, the character of Christian growth, I want you to notice. First, it is total and complete. It is total and complete. He uses the language of sacrifice. Now, you think about it. If you offer a sacrifice, is it halfway? Is it a portion? No, it is total and complete. But notice the twist that Paul puts on this. He says we are living sacrifices. You see, in Paul's day, when they talked about sacrifices, you think about it. If a sacrifice is offered, by definition, it is dead, right? It does not live beyond the sacrifice if you offer an animal for sacrifice. But he says, no, we are sacrifices, but we are living sacrifices. We are alive. We offer ourselves fully to God. When you come to Jesus and believe in him, he doesn't kill you. It gives you life. And so you become a living sacrifice to God. But then the second thing is, it is reasonable and logical. It is reasonable and logical. Now, in the translation I read to you, it says, this is true worship. Other translations have, this is your reasonable service. Actually, the Greek word that Paul writes there is the Greek word logikos. Does that sound like an English word? Logical. So it is reasonable and logical. You think about it. What did I tell you about God's mercy? God in his mercy has not given you everything that your sins deserve. God has been merciful to you in Jesus Christ. How are you going to respond? It is only reasonable and logical that you respond by giving yourself to God. as a living sacrifice, giving everything that you have to God. It is only logical that we do that. Now, is it something that we do kind of naturally? No, we fight against it. We want to hold back. But if we think about it, it is reasonable and logical to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Now, what are the demands of Christian growth? Next, in verse 2. Now, as soon as I say that word demands, you kind of cringe, right? I don't want anybody demanding anything from me. Well, what are the demands of Christian growth? Well, there's a negative one and a positive one, he says. First, a negative. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What is this world? Is he talking about creation, the plants and the animals, the planet? No. He's talking about this world system, that the entire thought of this world that is against God. Don't conform to that pattern. But isn't that what we all do and what we fight against? It's as if every influence in our life, whether it's school or work, or whether it's social media or TV, or whether it's our own inward tendencies of the flesh, everything is pressing us in a certain mold, and that mold is the world's mold. It's not God's mold. It's that, it's pressing us in a way, oh, you don't need to follow God, you need to do this. Don't give unselfishly, look out for yourself. Think about what's best for you. That mold is constantly pressing on us. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, no matter how great those pressures are. And then the positive, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Transformed by the renewing of your minds. This transformation is a metamorphosis. It's that same, we think about the gradual process that makes the caterpillar into the butterfly. It's that gradual process that is work in our lives. We read in 2 Corinthians 3:18 the story about Moses appearing before God, and then he had to put a veil over his face because the glory of God shone so much. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, all of us with unveiled faces, not like Moses having to wear a veil, but with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed. See, we look at the glory of the Lord in God's word, then we are transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. And notice how he puts that. We're transformed what? Immediately? Instantaneously? I believe in Jesus and all of a sudden I'm just like Jesus? No, I don't know anybody like that. It happens gradually. He says, we're transformed into the image of Jesus from one degree of glory to another. It happens gradually, maybe slowly, but it's still going on. That process is still going on. Long time ago when I was a teenager, somebody gave me a button, and all it had on the button were just letters. And the letters were PBPGINFWMY. You can't, it's not a word, you can't say it. But each letter stood for a word. And so the point was to wear the button and then have people ask you, what is that? What is that group of letters? What does that mean? And each letter stood for a word, and it goes like this. Please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. From one degree of glory to another. We're not there yet, but God's still working. God hasn't given up on you. God is still working. It's not over yet. And then fourthly, the effect of Christian growth. Then, if you think about God's mercy, give yourself as a living sacrifice, allow God to change you so you're not fitting the mold of the world, but you're gradually becoming more like Jesus, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, I'd like to know the will of God for my life. I'd like to know what God wants me to do. Well, if you read these verses, one way you can do that is first offer your body as a living sacrifice and be transformed in them. Oh, I don't want to do any of that. I just want God to tell me what his will is. Doesn't work that way. first, you have to go through these steps of offering yourself as a living sacrifice and being transformed, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Mark Twain famously once said, "It's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that bother me, it's the parts I do understand." You know, are there parts of the Bible that I don't understand? Yes, absolutely. Parts, maybe I struggle with what in the world is that even talking about? But the parts that are very clear that I do understand but don't do, see, there's the problem. It's not so much an understanding problem, but a doing problem. You know, sometimes Christians get kind of out of whack about the whole Christian life and Christian growth. We talk in the church a lot about grace, as I did this morning, that God's grace is so wonderful and so great that in spite of all our sin, God is still good to us and still loves us. And that's all true. But the flip side of that is, what do we do in response? And that's what I'm focusing on in Romans 12, 1 and 2 today. Now, do you have to live up to a certain level for God to love you? No. Do you have to follow a certain set of rules? No. God loves you and God's grace is active in your life no matter what. But the flip side of that then is, how do we respond to God's grace? Now, this is not a perfect example, but it's the one I thought of. I thought about, if you have had the experience, and I know some of you have not, but if you've had the experience of having at least one parent in your life that loved you unconditionally, that doesn't mean they were always pleased with everything you did, but you knew that no matter what you did, they would love you. They would never give up on you. Again, I know some of you didn't have that experience, but some of you did. Now, if you had that experience, and I did, how do I respond to that? Does that deepen my sense of commitment to my parent? Because they love me in that way, then I want to please them. I want to obey them. I want to do what they, and I want them to be proud of me. Or do I respond by saying, well, hey, I can get by with anything. No matter what I do, they're going to love me anyway. You see the difference? Well, it's not a perfect example, but you get the point in our response to God's unconditional love to us. Now, we can respond in that way, and people have. Hey, you mean to tell me that no matter what sins I do, in the end, God's going to forgive me anyway? Well, then let's party. You know, let's go. Let's do whatever we want to do. But see, that's a misunderstanding of God's grace. The way God wants us to respond is, you know, but God, because you love me in that way and because your love is so true and so faithful, then that deepens my sense of commitment to you, of wanting to live my life as a living sacrifice for you. Now, you think about commitment. Think about the Super Bowl today. The guys that you're going to watch on TV playing, are they committed? You better believe they're committed. They're committed to, you know, eating the right things. They're committed to working out every day. They're committed to getting their mind straight so they know what the plays are going to be and memorizing those. I mean, it takes a huge level of commitment to operate at that level, to be the best you can be, to make it to the Super Bowl. That's the same kind of commitment that we ought to have as living sacrifices for Jesus Christ. We ought to be so committed to Him that whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to do that because I want to respond to your mercy. Because you have been so good to me. Let me give you another example. This table set before us. It's an example reminding us of Jesus' commitment to us. What was Jesus willing to give for you? He was willing to give His all. He was willing to be a sacrifice, to become a sacrifice on the cross for you. Now, what do we do in response? Can we do whatever we want? Well, yeah, we can, but what should we do? Remember the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross"? Think about that last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, if I had everything everything in this world, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Now, I know we fall short of that, but that should be our sense of response, our sense of commitment to Jesus Christ, who is willing to give his all for us. Lord, I know what I give you is small compared to what you gave me, but what you have done for me, the love you have shown for me, it demands my all. I want to be a living sacrifice for you. Let us prepare our hearts now to receive God's grace again in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Let me invite you, as you're able, to stand together as we sing, "Let Us Break Bread Together." Please be seated. Let us pray. Well, Lord, we think about falling on our knees before you, bowing before you, submitting before you. Lord, you are our Lord, and we want to bow before you and open ourselves to you and ask you to take us and use us for your glory in whatever way that might mean. Lord, that's the least we can do when we consider what Jesus did for us. Even on the night before his death, he gathered with his disciples and broke bread and offered to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Lord, we're reminded the bread, Jesus' body, the cup, Jesus' blood. He gave his body and blood. He gave all that he had so that we might know you, so that we might be one with you, and so that our sins might be forgiven. We thank you for that sacrifice in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Indeed, that night he gathered with his disciples and broke bread and offered to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you, as you serve the bread, to hold it, and then we will partake all together at one time, reminding us of our family bond as sisters and brothers in Christ. Then as you serve the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed God calls us and we respond one person at a time. This is the Lord's table. It is a table of God's grace and mercy. You do not deserve it, but you're still invited to come through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it." Let us pray. Oh Lord, your love continues to amaze us. We really don't understand it. It's hard for us to even grasp how a God who made so many creatures, was rejected by them, would still love them, and would then give himself completely for them. We don't understand it, but we accept it and believe it and cling to it as our only hope that we have this kind of God, a God who gives of himself and loves us unconditionally. So, Lord, help us to respond to that love. Lord, even our response is not all that it should be, but don't let that keep us from continuing to make every effort that all that is within us praises your holy name. We pray through Jesus, our Savior, who taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's amazing love and the gifts that we present to God's glory.
Dear Lord and Father of all,
long ago our Savior Jesus called people to come and follow him. But that was not just when he was on this earth. He's still calling us today. Come and follow me. Give up what is your life and learn what true life is all about through me. So, Lord, these gifts that we present them as part of our response to that call. Take us. Take all that we are and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God is not finished with you yet. Not yet. You might think it. He is not finished with you yet. You are not fully yet in the image of Christ. He's still working on you little by little from one degree of glory to another to shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. So unto that God be all glory, honor, and praise now and forevermore. Amen.